You're always warned, never follow animals or kids. And we're doing both, so we'll see how it goes. So we just watched the Christmas story being told by our kids, and now I'm going to take you through another telling of the Christmas story. But this one's told by the Apostle John. Now, when you look at John's gospel, it doesn't seem like he's really telling a Christmas story, because he doesn't begin with the time and place in history when Jesus is born. He goes all the way back to the beginning, before time really began, before the earth even existed, to tell us the Christmas story. John begins in chapter 1, verse 1 this way: "In the beginning, in the very beginning, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So John gives Jesus a name here, and he calls him the Word. Now the Word, the word that's translated Word here, the Greek word is logos. And correctly translated, it means the expression or declaration of a thought. So a word is an audible manifestation of a thought. What John's saying is that Jesus is the physical manifestation of God. So literally, John is saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. John's underlining for us and making it clear the divinity of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And as we celebrate Christmas, we're celebrating His presence. And the greatest present ever given is the presence of God in the person of Jesus Christ. I was thinking this week, because everybody who spent this day running around doing your last minute Christmas shopping, what makes a gift special? Sometimes it has to do with the money that's spent, but I think most of us would agree that the most special gifts that we're given are gifts that are thoughtful. When we know that someone planned ahead and saved, as opposed to just stopping at Walgreens and getting a gift card on the way to the party, this is one of the keys to what John is telling us in his Christmas story, that the gift of Jesus to this world was not a last-minute idea by God. You see this in verse 3 and 4. John talks about Jesus being with God when the world was created. He says God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and now his life has brought light to everyone. John tells us the Christmas story by going back to Genesis 1 and reminding us of the creation of the world. If you stick with Genesis, what do you see in chapter 3? By Genesis 3, sin has entered the world, and this is where you read about Jesus for the very first time in Scripture. God confronts Adam and Eve over what they've done, and he curses the serpent that tempted Adam and Eve. And then in Genesis 3:15, there's this prophecy where God is speaking to the serpent, and he says, "The seed of the woman will crush your head." So Jesus will come, and he will defeat death. This is the first promise of Christmas, and it's here in the third chapter of the Bible. What's an interesting phrase is that the seed of the woman. It's only used here in Scripture. Usually it's the seed of man to denote paternity. Here it speaks to the simple fact that Mary would be a virgin and Jesus would have no biological earthly father. The whole point of this passage is this. God was planning for Christmas from the very beginning. When God was forming the earth, hanging the stars in the sky, even in that moment, he was thinking of you. He saw our need for a Savior. And so we have these prophecies in the Old Testament. And this is the first of hundreds that would follow. All of them saying in one form or another, all of them saying the same thing. Someone is coming. Someone's coming. Again and again, someone is coming. One of the neatest prophecies is in Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. It says this: Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. So God says here in this prophecy, someone is coming. I know you're suffering, and he will bear your suffering. Someone is coming who will be pierced for your transgressions. Someone is coming, and the punishment the punishment that you deserve, he's going to take that upon himself. Someone is coming, and he will be wounded so that you can be healed. Again and again, someone is coming. Someone is coming. And then one night, 700 years after this prophecy is written in Isaiah, shepherds are in the field, minding their own business, just watching sheep. And the angel Gabriel appears and says, essentially, someone has come. A Savior has been born, and is Christ the Lord. So God has been preparing from the very beginning for the birth of Jesus. That's a thoughtful gift. Another thing that makes a gift, I think, meaningful or special is when sacrifice is required. When you receive a gift that you know somebody sacrificed for, whether it was for a lot of money or they spent a lot of time getting the gift right, they gave up something that they wanted so that they could give you this gift, those gifts, they mean a lot to us because we understand. I mean, if we're really honest, we understand how selfish we can be. We know how hard it is to put others ahead of ourselves. We know how hard it is to sacrifice so that we can be generous to others. And so when that's done for us, it's that much more meaningful. Because inside of each of us, we have this selfishness that we try to push it down and keep it hidden, but it's still there. And so Jesus comes and he just models for us what it looks like to be generous in a way that's sacrificial. The Bible talks about this in Philippians chapter 2. It describes that when Jesus came to earth, it says he made himself nothing. He made himself nothing. In doing so, he not only is communicating his love for us, but he's also modeling how you and I are supposed to love one another. A few years ago, there was a story in the news, and there's been other stories like it, but a woman was traveling on a plane with her daughter, and they were going out of state to a hospital because the daughter had suffered from a rare lung condition. So they had oxygen tanks and all this other stuff they were carrying on the plane with them. And after they get to their seat in the back of the plane, a flight attendant comes up and says, there's this passenger, and he and his wife are in first class, and they would like to trade seats with you. And the whole story went viral. It was all over social media and the news channels. And the mother was being interviewed, and she described the whole thing. And he said that it all made her feel like her daughter and her were noticed and that they were valued simply because somebody was willing to trade places with them. That story of somebody noticing and sacrificing and switching places in a very small way tells the story of the gospel, that God sees our condition. I think most of us need to hear this. He notices us. He sees us. And he wants to do something about where we're at. So he says, essentially, do you want to switch seats? And I'll take your place so that you can live forever in heaven with me. And Jesus Christ leaves his seat. He leaves his throne room in heaven for the manger and a stable. And in doing so, he makes clear that you and I are noticed. Not only that, that you and I are valuable. And so John 1 describes that moment where Jesus comes to earth. And then verse 12 says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And this word received in the Greek language, it's not like that. It's more of a delighting in it, being excited about receiving this one gift. It's a full embrace. It's recognizing that this gift is exactly what you needed. That's what the word is describing to all who've received him. And yet some gifts are hard to receive. They require us to humble ourselves. Sometimes you get a gift and the only way to really receive it is to admit something about yourself that you don't really want to admit. Think of it this way. Say somebody gives you a membership to a gym for Christmas. I don't recommend this for spouses, because New Year's is not going to be good for you. But if someone does that, to really fully and completely receive it, it's hard because you have to admit something. You have to admit, well, thanks, you're right, I'm overweight and I'm out of shape, and I need to go to the gym. It's hard to acknowledge even that. But unless you acknowledge something about yourself, then you can't really receive the gift. It's like getting a gift card for Casey's and then just putting it in the drawer and never using it. Yeah, you have it, but you didn't receive it. And this is true of Jesus Christ as well. That he is this beautiful free gift from God. But receiving that gift means acknowledging some things about us that are hard to acknowledge. That we're broken, that we're lost without him, that being able to enjoy his presence means that we have to be honest about the absence that we have in our lives that only he can fill. The Bible says that to all who receive him, they receive the right to be called children of God. In John's telling of the Christmas story, he describes Jesus as the light of all mankind and the light that comes into the darkness. In verse 5, John says the darkness could not extinguish it. Earlier, we lit the Advent candles. Now, if you grew up in a church that celebrated Advent, you know that four of the candles represent things like hope and love, and then you have one that's called the shepherd's candle or the candle of joy, because the shepherds were promised the good news of great joy for all people. And then there's the peace candle, representing that Jesus is our Prince of Peace, that he's come to give us peace in this life, with ourselves, with each other, with our Creator. And that peace isn't dependent on what's going on in your life. It's not dependent on what you see on the news. Because his peace surpasses all understanding. But then you come to the center candle, the one we lit tonight. That candle is called the Christ candle. Have you ever wondered why we celebrate Christmas, the birth of Jesus, on December 25th? Because I don't want to traumatize anybody. But there's nothing anywhere in Scripture that says Jesus was born on December 25th. If it makes you feel better, there's a 1 in 365 chance that he was. But that's as close as you get. But you see, 300 years after Jesus' birth, the church had gone from being persecuted to essentially the religion of the land. And they wanted to set aside a time, a day on the calendar, to celebrate and acknowledge and to remember the birth of Jesus Christ. So they chose a time that's called the winter solstice. And in the 3rd century, the winter solstice was a 7-day period where the days became shorter and then they started getting a little bit longer. Today you can determine that down to the second. But back then, technology wasn't quite the same, so they just picked 7 days. But anyway, in that 7-day period, December 25th was considered to be the darkest and the coldest time of the year. The early church decided that was the day when we were going to celebrate the light and the life. So on Christmas Eve at midnight, December 24th, they would light a candle as a way to remember the presence of Jesus Christ. That Jesus came, and it was the greatest gift, the greatest present of all. And that he came to be light and life in the darkest and the coldest of moments when we receive him. Would you pray with me? Heavenly and gracious Father, we want to thank you for your Son, for what he did for us, but what he continues to do each and every day, guiding us, putting people in our path to draw us closer to him, to make us more like the example that he set, and to stick around and be there so that we can have a peace that those outside the church don't understand. That we can have a peace with each other, peace with God, and peace with ourselves. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless us, continue to watch over us, and that each day we can be more like your Son, and that people would see him living through us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.